And I always say to people who want to be an entrepreneur, go work for someone else first. Learn the ropes from them. See how they run the business. See how they invoice. See how they close the business. See how they communicate with their clients, right? Understand how businesses operate. And that's, I learned so much from other people spending 15 years in corporate before I opened my own business.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Today's episode is sponsored by book number two from Dominic Dom Brightman, Stay the Course, The Elite Performer's 7 Secret Keys to Sustainable Success. It is the field guide to help unleash the elite performer that is inside of you. Cop it today on Amazon.com or heading over to DomBrightman.com and snag it in book, ebook, and audiobook. So that way you can take it on the go and get yourself on the go to your northbound success. And today on the Highlight Reel Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special, awesome human for you today, my friends. That's right, dude. You're going to be in for a treat that's good enough to eat. Right, dude. Right, dude, y'all. Because we got a magical mom on the podcast. She's also a keynote speaker, facilitator, consultant, executive leadership advisor, as well as a leadership trainer. And she's the president, y'all. That's right, indeed. So move over all 53 states, even though there's 50 at the moment, y'all. She's the president at the Mosaic People Development, her own wonderful company. So let's give it up for the V to the J herself, the victorious and joyful, the one, the only, Vanessa Udelman. How you doing today, Vanessa?
Hey, great. How are you?
Doing great, too.
Oh, yes. When anyone calls me V to the J, I'm going to have a good day.
Ooh, and it rhymed. All right, there we go. There you go. You're a poet and you didn't even know it.
Exactly.
There we go. That's right. Poetry and leadership, y'all. It's poetry and motion, y'all. That's right indeed. Right indeed. That's right. It's like a strawberry with an actual straw. It's weird. It's a pun. It's a dad joke. It's good times. That's indeed. Yes, David A. But it ain't about strawberries, it's about the victorious Vanessa. So my goodness, as with all introductions, they're not allowed to be 55.5 centuries long, and I probably covered, I don't know, 5 metaphorical days. What makes you the you that you are today? So my filling is in on how you became the Vanessa that you are today.
Oh boy, well, it's been a long journey. It started when I was born in Johannesburg, South Africa. And my family decided that they wanted to move to a place that was safer at the time. It was, Mandela was still in jail during apartheid South Africa. And so we moved to Toronto, Canada. And so I grew up here. I went to high school, School of the Arts. I was a drama major. I went to university in Canada. We don't say college, we say university. I went to university in Montreal. It's called McGill University. And I was an English major. And my mother said to me, what are you going to do with that? And to be honest, it always amazed me that everybody wasn't an English major, because you got to read books and get a degree for it. And that's something that I love to do so much. So my mother was a teacher, so she said, you should be a teacher. So I went to teacher's college. I taught at-risk youth for many years. It was rewarding and very challenging. And then I decided, you know what, I'd like to move into adult education. So I was at a networking event, and I met somebody who worked for a training and consulting firm. And she said to me, people introduced themselves and said, what do you do? What do you do? And she said, oh, I work at this training and consulting company. And my ears perked up because my passion is education. And I thought, wouldn't it be great to move from working with kids to working with adults? So that's how I started my journey. I worked at this training and consulting company for 10 years. I started supporting the vice president. She moved me into a sales role. I moved into account management role, into consulting role. And that's really where I learned all about leadership, and developing people and organizational development and what makes high-performing teams. I worked in-house. I led high-performing teams. I led low-performing teams. I had people who loved my leadership style. I had people who didn't like my leadership style. And from those people, I actually learned the most. And now I've been running my business, Mosaic People Development, for over 10 years. So that's the very quick version of who I am. Plus, I have two kids. They're teenagers. So that's another topic.
Oh, there you go. So hashtag supermom. That's right, indeed. And one of the kiddos is going to college here.
He's leaving in about a week, so he's really excited. I'm excited / super sad.
That's right, dude. She's like, yay. He's waiting for the ride. Yeah. It's like, oh, tears of joy. Just one more to go. That empty nest is coming.
Oh, there is a little bit of that, actually. It's funny. A lot of people, when their kids get their driver's license, they're like, I'm going to hold off and I'm really nervous. And it was the best day. It was like, I don't have to be driving you around town. Now you can drive yourself and your younger brother to basketball practice and do some errands for me. And right. So I was like, I encourage everybody, as soon as your kid can get their driver's license, go. Frees you up a lot.
That's right. Indeed. It's like, hello, delegation.
Big time.
That's right, indeed. Leadership from a mom's perspective, y'all. That's right, indeed. One of the biggest leaders on earth. It's the mom, first teacher.
There's a lot to be said for that, because I do think your kids can learn leadership all the time. My younger son said to me a couple of weeks ago, he's like, Mom, I'm thinking I want to make some money before school starts. He's going into the 10th grade, and maybe I'll do some brochures and mow the lawns, like to mow people's lawns. I said, Josh, you know, in life, you have to leverage your strengths and leverage your talents. You have a strength and a talent that you can leverage. He plays Division I basketball. I said to him, why don't you teach basketball to kids and teens in the neighborhood? He's like, wow, I didn't really think about that. So that's what he did. John, you'll like this. We went on, this is how easy it is now to market. Went on ChatGPT, said, write a brochure for 15-year-old coaching, you know, kids basketball. 30 seconds, had it done, changed it a little bit, went into Canva, made a brochure. Honestly, within like 10 minutes, the whole thing was done. So, you know, every moment in life, you have choices about leveraging your strengths and sharing your talents with the world. And this was just a really good example. So at 15, he's already learning about marketing, entrepreneurship, promoting yourself, asking for money. Right? He said, how do I ask for money? I said, you just ask for the money. Like, don't be shy. So there you go. Mom school in action. What do you think of that, Dom?
Yeah, that's good indeed. That's right indeed. It's so true. It's like, hey, mom's a mompreneur. Like, hey, get to learn. And it's like, hey, he gets to think of stuff outside the box. Because, shoot, yeah, depending on the neighborhood, and there's a bunch of other teenage boys looking for money, I'm sure they're all thinking the same thing. Mow some lawns. It's like, there's always so many lawns you can mow.
That's right.
That's right indeed. And it depends. It's like, hey, not sure how the economy is. Some folks would probably be like, nope, I still like mowing my own lawn. Thank you very much.
100%. It's all about leveraging your talents and what you enjoy.
Talking about indeed. So speaking of leveraging talents, when you had that wonderful opportunity to teach the adults, so my goodness, you had that wonderful shot of confidence, I imagine. So what helped you to finally realize, you know what, let me do this on my own. I'm tired of doing this under a company that's not mine.
Mm-hmm. It was always my dream. When I worked at this consulting company, there were external consultants who came in and did work for us, and they all worked super hard, but they had their independence. And so that was my vision for a long time, to one day start my own business. However, because I grew up in a consulting company, I wanted to go in-house and be a leader and learn around the operational side of the business. So it's a stepping stone. And I always say to people who want to be an entrepreneur, go work for someone else first. Learn the ropes from them. See how they run the business. See how they invoice. See how they close the business. See how they communicate with their clients, right? understand how businesses operate. And that's, I learned so much from other people spending 15 years in corporate before I opened my own business.
So there you go. So you started the business at 30. Good times.
Maybe 31.
Oh, okay. So for folks out there with the dyslexia, it's 13. All right. So there you go. She was a prodigy, dadgummit. She was a prodigy.
Exactly.
So my goodness, so since you taught the kiddos too, has there been a lesson that sticks out from your time at teaching for one of your students that enhanced your game as an educator?
Oh my gosh, you learn from students every day. I think the biggest thing for me teaching at-risk youth was around resilience, that a lot of the kids I taught struggled a lot in their lives and had a lot of adversity that they had that they struggled through. And so resilience was one of the things that I learned from those kids. And, you know, life can be really hard. We're all going to have challenges. Nobody dodges the challenge bullet in life. Very few people do. And so that's one thing that I really learned from those kids is around resilience.
That's what I'm talking about indeed. Well, speaking of resilience, that means setbacks are going to be coming your way. You got to deal with them. So has there been a major setback in life or business that actually was a big setup for success for you?
Oh my gosh. I mean, when you run your business, there's always setbacks. I mean, the pandemic was a huge setback. My husband and I are both self-employed and literally went from a full book of business to zero clients. So, you know, many people were in that situation. And after crying for a few weeks, then I said, okay, let's use this time. So I used the time and I did so many amazing things in my business that I never had time to do. I automated a bunch of stuff. I built some infrastructure. I took a course about how to connect with people on Zoom. I used the time. And so that was a real big lesson around adaptability, around innovation. I love to be creative. But when you've run your business for a long time, Dom, sometimes the creativity, wouldn't say you lose it, but you can get into routine, right? And so when you have a challenge, what I love about it is it pushes you out of routine and it forces you to be creative. And I love that.
Yeah, it's true. That's true indeed. It's right indeed. It's like, oh man, we got the stick figure. How can we sell it? It's like, you know what? Put an afro on it. Creativity. Ah, there we go. That's right. Next level, baby. That's right, indeed. Now we have world peace. Just had to draw a stick figure and give it an afro. So we had to
there you go. World peace accomplished. Why didn't we think of that before? Like, you know, years ago. We wish it was that easy, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely indeed. And folks probably like, man, leadership can be hard, ain't it? Outside looking in, it's like, shoot. Like, yeah, because you mentioned earlier, it's like, hey, you have a great leadership style, but it's like, hey, not everybody's going to buy in. So how was that process like with the whole getting folks to buy in and get to that next level?
Oh, my gosh, you're so right. Leadership is really hard. And the problem with most organizations is they promote people into leadership roles without any training, or they just go, okay, you know, you're an engineer and you're really good at your job. So now I'm going to promote you and you're going to lead other engineers. This is a different job, right? I always ask the leaders I work with, Tom, and say to them, how many of you in college, university, learnt to lead? Nobody puts their hand up. Some people who did their MBA, maybe. So, and then they're thrown into these positions where they have to lead other people. It's really hard. So when I work with leaders, I break it down into three pillars to remove some of the complexity. I call it the three pillars of leadership success. So the first pillar is know yourself. You have to have self-awareness. And the next pillar is manage your team. That's your job. You have to coach people. You have to develop them. You have to know how to build a high-performing team. And then the third pillar is lead your business. That's your job. You have to know how to manage change. You have to know how to execute strategically. You've got to get super focused on your priorities. And so that's what I teach people to do. I teach them the nuts and bolts of leadership. And then you know what, Dom? When you know the nuts and bolts, leadership isn't as challenging anymore because You're like, ah, I know how to do it now. This makes sense. It's like a sport. Leadership's a sport. It really is. You get a coach, you know how to do it, you feel much more confident, and then you got to practice a lot.
Yep, it's true. It's right indeed. It's so true indeed. It's right indeed. It makes things a lot easier. Makes things a lot easier indeed. Right indeed. Get yourself a coach. Right indeed. Bonus points if you got a mentor too. That's right indeed. Heck, who knows? The coach probably could be both. You never know. That's what I'm talking about. Indeed. So my goodness, so those three magical pillars, know thyself, which is very freaking important. So for those who are lacking self-awareness, any first steps you recommend for folks to increase their self-awareness muscles?
Oh my, yeah, for sure. So a couple things. One, well, I like self-assessments. You could do like, have you done any self-assessments for like a Myers-Briggs or a DISC?
Both of those, yes.
Those. There's HBDI, which is Human Brain Dominance Instrument, which looks at your brain, if you're left brain or right brain. There's a Strength Finder. Do you have a preference out of curiosity? Which one of those you really liked or learned from?
I guess results wise, Myers-Briggs was my first, which was really cool. And that's probably been around probably longer than most of the other ones. But I think StrengthsFinder taking that one, probably about a good, shoot, that was probably 5, 7 years ago. Like it gave me a different perspective and semi, sometimes even from a leadership perspective, like how I can sometimes lead others from a harmony perspective, like, hey, trying to get some good old consensus, even though that's always not going to be the case.
Oh, for sure. I love StrengthFinders. And the great thing about the tool is it highlights your top five strengths. And then you can get a deeper report, but it's not that expensive. You can go on the StrengthFinder website. And really understanding your strengths is so helpful for leadership. I was working with a group of leaders yesterday, and one of them said to me, we actually did the DISC assessment with the group. So DISC stands for dominant, for those of you who have never heard of it, dominant, influencer, steady, and conscientious. They're different kinds of work styles, and DISC measures how you show up at work. And so this one individual who runs his own business said, you know, Vanessa, I'm conscientious, I'm very introverted, I'm very analytical. He goes, and I know my strength, I'm not that friendly. So I said to him, let's work on that. Because, you know, friendliness, he goes, I'm such an introvert. I said, friendliness actually is nothing to do with whether you're introverted or extroverted, right? Extrovert means you get your energy from others. Introvert, you get your energy from yourself. So you can be incredibly friendly and be introverted. It has nothing to do with friendliness. So I said, let's work on that a little bit, because I do think part of leadership is building trust. And you do that through respect and loyalty. And I think friendliness is a way to build trust in your relationships. But what he did say to me was, because I know these are my strengths, I'm analytical, I'm thoughtful, I'm thorough, I hire someone who's my opposite, right? I hire someone to fill my gaps. And I think that's a great business strategy. All leaders, because we all have strengths and weaknesses, right? So all leaders need to hire a team that fills their gaps. We can't be everything to everyone. That's just a reality. Just like with my son, I said, focus on your strengths. Right? You're not that good at mowing the lawn, to be honest, and you're great at basketball. You're really good with kids, right? So leverage your strengths. So that's really the first step. So one way you can do it is to do an assessment. I also like people to ask. Ask three people you know, say three people that we work with. I'm really looking at developing my self-awareness. What do you see are my strengths and what do you see of my weaknesses? I actually did that recently, Dom. I was working with a group of clients for 8 months in my Mastering Leadership program. And at the end of it, I said to them, I'm just curious, what do you see as my strengths? And they wrote a list. Should I read it? Want to see what it does?
Oh, yeah, go ahead and read.
So here we go. Because I was curious, and I think it's great in terms of, and then I'm going to come back and ask you your strengths. Am I allowed to do that?
Oh, go ahead. I already shared one of them.
Okay. So they said authentic, energetic, positive, engaging, friendly, curious, encourages self-reflection and self-aware. And I keep this sticky because when times are tough, when I'm feeling down, when something doesn't go well, I look at the list. When I'm thinking about how to leverage my strengths in my business, I look at this list and it keeps me really focused on leveraging those strengths.
Yes, I'm talking about indeed.
What are some of your strengths that you leverage?
Yeah, harmony is definitely one. I'm trying to do it off the top of my head because I have not looked at mine in so long.
Yeah, because you don't even need to do an assessment, a formal assessment to figure out your strength. This is just from asking people that work with me. So I think for anyone listening, if you don't want to do a formal assessment, go ask people, what are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? And the thing is, we all have strengths and weaknesses. And I always say to people, the goal is for you to be your authentic self, right? So don't change who you are. Be authentic. And there's stuff that you can dial up or dial down to be the best version of yourself. So this person that I was speaking to yesterday, for example, I said to him, you could dial up your friendliness and do it in a way that's authentic to you, right? You're never going to be that leader who walks down the hallways high-fiving people. That's just not your vibe. That would be inauthentic. However, what does friendly look like to you? So it's like, well, I really enjoy one-on-one conversations. I said, great, set those up. Set up coffee meetings where you can talk to your team one-on-one and get to know them and find out, hey, what's working in the business? What's not working? What ideas do you have for how we could improve things around here? Oh, by the way, how was your weekend? What'd you do? How was your kid's birthday party? Right? So it's not that hard.
Hey, it's true. It's true indeed. Yeah, it's all right. There's definitely different ways to do things. It's like, yeah, you don't have to be the extra gregarious dude walking down the hallway high-fiving people like you mentioned. Like, hey, one-on-one conversations, that's where it's at. You get to learn stuff. Besides, build the camaraderie, learn more about your colleagues, build synergy.
Love that word, synergy. Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am, indeed. Yes, ma'am, indeed. So what are you excited about over the next 6 to 12 months? I'm pretty sure you got some things planned in that wonderful brain of yours.
Oh, yes, I do have some things planned. So I always have something planned. You're right. I'm going to be working on an app for my leadership program. So yeah, two things actually. And they're kind of, well, both technology related. One is when I do my one-on-one coaching, I take notes. My clients take notes, but I just recently found out about something called Fathom, which is a note taker. So you just add it onto Zoom. And it's going to take notes for my clients. You can identify key themes. And after every coaching session, they get notes. I'm like, why not? Like, why do I need to take notes? Why do they need to take notes anymore? Leverage the technology. So I was just looking into Fathom yesterday. It's an add-on to Zoom. So that's going to be one thing that I'm planning on doing. The other thing is developing an app. So when people go through my 8-module leadership program, at the end of it, we kind of wrap up and say bye. And that's always bothered me, Dom. And so what this app is going to do is it's going to give them a year of follow-up after they finish the 8 months. So they're going to get emails and they'll have access to a lot of data and information on the app. So that's what I'm up to these days.
Oh, okay. All right. Cool, cool, cool. So is that going to be for the masses and molasses or is that just for your clients?
I'm open to the masses and the what? Molasses?
Yeah.
Anyone could be my client. If you're want to develop your leadership skills, whether you're the masses or in molasses or not, I'm here to serve.
Don't worry, we can make a maple syrup too if you want.
Sure. Since I am from Canada, maybe it's the maple syrup.
That's right, indeed. So as maple syrup comes out quicker. Molasses moves like a snail. So my goodness, you have this book that came out, I believe, about 7 years ago, no less, called Mastering Leadership, indeed. So what inspired you to become an author?
Well, again, it was a dream that I had for a long time, and it was tough to overcome. I had a lot of fear before I wrote the book. I remember one day going into a bookstore in Toronto and looking at all the books on the bookshelf and thinking, oh, there's so many books already. Who needs another book? Right. And then I shut down that dream for another 10 years. And then one day I said, you know what? I need a plan. So I'm going to start just writing the table of contents. So I just felt unfocused and I wasn't sure what I wanted the book to be about. It was a big struggle to honestly, Dom, the biggest struggle was getting started, I have to admit. So I wrote a table of contents. How long do you think it took me to write that?
30 minutes.
It didn't take more than 30 minutes. It was like once I sat down and focused, I wrote out the whole plan for the book. And then what I decided to do was take Fridays, like not book any clients on Fridays. And so I used Fridays to finish off the book. And it took a year. So it's a long process. And then it took about 6 months to work with my editor. And then I had a really nice launch party. And yeah, it's a process for sure. But if it is a goal, if it's a dream that you have, I would just say take the first step. Just start.
There you go. There you go, indeed. So, since it's been 7 years, got any itches to write another book?
I do. I have this habit of writing down book titles all the time. But I think it's going to be a couple more years. I get both kids off to college, so I'm going to have a little more time. Or at least when my second son gets his driver's license, because there's a lot of drive into basketball practice, but and school and stuff like that. But yeah, it's percolating for sure. I was an English major, as I mentioned, in university, so I love to write. And I write a blog every week. So if anyone's interested in access to fresh leadership content weekly, go on my website, Mosaic People Development, mosaicpd.com. Just go on the little button that says blog, and you can sign up for the blog. It comes out every Friday, and it's always relevant. The way that I get my topics for my blog is conversations I have with clients. So when people read the blog, they go, oh, I was just thinking about this. Oh, this is so relevant to what I'm going through. And that's why. So it's really hot off the press topics that are on forefront of leaders' minds. And it could be anything from the what we talked about before, Dom, around self-awareness or mindset or coaching, how to get feedback. That's a big one with leaders because they tend to avoid feedback because it can be tough. One of my clients, I had in my coaching clients, told me that she has a very disjointed relationship with one of the partners at her architect firm. And the reason is that they had some interpersonal conflict, and she didn't want to, she was so nervous to speak to this person because she thought she was going to cry. So she just avoided this person for 2 years. And so the relationship has disintegrated. So a blog that's going to come out in the next couple of weeks is called Is It Okay to Cry at Work? So it can be some deep stuff, it can be some tactical stuff. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yeah, because this era of giving feedback, especially with so many generations in the workplace, it varies like how you got to deliver feedback. Because some folks who are probably more seasoned, they're like, oh, just give it to me quick. It's straight, no chaser, direct, please. Let me know now so I can fix it now. Some folks are like, oh, really? I got to take a personal day now. No, I'm not perfect. No.
Oh yeah, I need 2 weeks off to recover from the feedback. For sure. Well, there's definitely a skill to giving feedback, and I think one of the main things to focus on really is the behavior, not the person. Right? So it's not you did this, it's you just start by really describing the behavior when you have errors in the work. I always say to people when you're giving feedback, be very careful about judgy words would be an example, like you seem disengaged. What is that? What does that mean? You seem disengaged. That's not feedback. And then I'll say to them, what behaviors are you seeing that makes you think this person is disengaged? Oh, well, they're showing up late for meetings. Bingo. That's the feedback. right? So you have to be very careful about using language that's judgmental and like really be specific.
There you go. That's right, indeed. In the world of gray zones, make sure your feedback is not gray, too.
Exactly.
That's right, indeed. Save gray for the Rogaine, y'all. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. So, my goodness, since you've been on quite a few podcasts, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often?
Ask me more. Well, because I focus on leadership, I don't know. What about something different? Like, what's your favorite food?
So what is it?
Can you tell a lot about people, Dom, to think by what their favorite food is?
Sometimes.
What's my favorite color? No one's ever asked me that.
Well, come on. Share your favorite meal. Come on now. It's okay.
No one's ever asked me my sign. So I'm going to give you all three. Favorite meal is sushi. Favorite color is blue or green. And my sign is Sagittarius. There you go.
There we go. Straight and tea. Straight and tea. I knew you're my kind of people. Blue is my favorite color, especially royal blue.
And what's your favorite food?
Favorite food? I'm a pizza guy. It's so easy.
That's my second. That's my second. You like the wood oven? Do you like the, what kind of pizza do you like?
Oh, shoot. What oven is freaking amazing? Shoot. Like, sign me up. Like, but the thing is, it's like, you can't really screw it up. It's like, even if you get cardboard, it's like, okay, it's roughage. It's just to wake you up to keep you going. So it's like, it's something you really can't screw up. So I was like, love it.
Well, anything melted cheese is so good, right? So, like, I take the cardboard, melt some cheese on it. It's so good.
There you go.
My eyes with you up, pizza.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Next time you come to Toronto, if you come, give me a ring and I'll take you out for the best pizza in town.
Sweet. That's what I'm talking about, indeed. Need to get my freaking flyer miles in. That's right, indeed. So, my goodness, so I guess basically sushi roll is the leadership meal, y'all. You got to roll with it.
It's a good metaphor. I'm going to use it. I'll borrow it. I'm my friend Dom.
Well, speaking of food as metaphors, if your fabulous book, Mastering Leadership, What It Takes to Lead in Today's Fast Paced World. If that book were a food, what would it be and why?
It would probably be a taco because there's a shell, which is leadership, but there's lots of different stuff inside. There's assessments, there's a portion on why leadership matters. We look at what problems leaders encounter, how to overcome these problems. And then I go deeper into know yourself, manage your team, and lead your business. So some of that's the lettuce and some of that's the tomato, some of that's the guacamole. So we got it all in there. Like a nice big taco.
There you go. Sorry.
What do you think of that metaphor?
That's good. Sorry, indeed. Sorry, indeed. So when it comes to leadership, are you a hard shell or a soft shell?
You know, I've worked with both. I'm a soft shell for sure. But I've worked with a lot of hard shells over the years. And, you know, the hard shell's got to soften up a little bit. Got to soften up a little bit. You don't have to be a full soft shell, but, you know, sometimes those hard shells. Actually, Brené Brown talks a lot about putting up barriers and walls in her work on vulnerability. And so she was actually, I heard her on a podcast recently talking about why people tend to avoid feedback, not because they're scared. It's because they're like a warrior with their armor on. And I thought that was really interesting. So, you know, some of those hard shells who wear their armor all the time need to let go because, you know, if you know the work of Brené Brown, she talks about vulnerability. It is such a great way to build trust with your team.
Yeah, indeed. Okay, indeed. That's right, indeed. Good old Yara Vigo. It's like, yep, it's there. That's right, indeed. It's true. That's right, indeed. It's the name of the game. Don't have to go full soft shell, y'all. That's right, indeed. Don't have to go full hard shell either. That's right, indeed. Not sure how that works taco wise, but hey, it works out some way with this metaphor.
Love it. I'm really loving this hard shell, soft shell metaphor. It's brilliant.
There you go. So, Taco Leadership Law coming to the brain near you from Vanessa herself. That's right, indeed.
Maybe that'll be my next leadership book.
Ah, there you go.
Go, the leadership taco and you. Let's work on that, Don. Let's work on that together.
Heck yeah. Especially for Taco Tuesday. Should have a whole Taco Tuesday leadership blog too. With different metaphors for different topics. Like, ah. Do you love spice? Feedback does not have to be spicy.
See? It's good. I'm really enjoying this metaphor, the taco metaphor. It's working for me.
Ah, yeah, that's right, indeed. That's what I see. Told you it wasn't just a random podcast interview. Didn't think we were going to talk about tacos today.
Exactly. Who knew? Who knew? Who knew?
Yeah. Well, we're coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive, and that is if you're to wake up tomorrow and you are 25 again, but you're still in the current year with all of your knowledge and experience, what advice would you give to yourself?
I would say persevere. Persevere. I think perseverance is underrated. And everything that I've gone through since I was 25 has required a lot of perseverance. There's been a lot of challenges and ups and downs, but keep focused on your vision and persevere.
Sweet. There you go. The vitamin P we all need. Perseverance, y'all. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Some would call it the Dr. P. Perseverance. Yeah. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Well, the good news is, folks only got a taste of what Vanessa has to offer. They probably only got a small teaspoon is like what she has to offer because she has a whole smorgasbord of content and expertise to share and give. So, for those who need to keep in contact with you to learn more, keep up with your journey because you're only getting started. What's the best way for folks to do so, Vanessa?
So you can reach out via my website, Mosaic People Development, or mosaicpeople.com. And I also have resources at yourleadershipresources.com. And feel free to jump onto that URL and grab a leadership self-assessment, some of the blogs I was talking about. There's a lot of free content that will really help you get focused, get started if you're new to leadership, or really hone your leadership practice if you're a more experienced leader.
Woohoo! Well, there you have it, folks. We're gonna put links to all of Vanessa's goodies in the show notes. That way you can head over to her site, check out her wares, check out all the goodies she's got. Indeed. Be sure to cop some copies of her book too. It's on Kindle, y'all. That's right, indeed. Are the paper slash hardback copies available through your site only? Or is it just all Kindle ebook?
Yep, pop on my website and you can purchase a hard copy there as well.
Ooh, is it autographed too?
It could be. Send me a note. Just say autograph, please. Be delighted to autograph it for you.
Go. Sure, indeed. That's good. Get that Vanessa Hancock on the book, y'all. Ask for y'all. Ask and she shall deliver. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. You won't even have to put a soft tortilla on your head for the process either. That's right, indeed. You're like, why is the towel so small? Wait, that ain't a towel. That's a darn freaking tortilla. Well, before I jump in another rabbit hole, any parting words before we close up shop, Vanessa?
That was so wonderful chatting with you. Thank you for the opportunity, Dom. And after this, I'm going to go get some pizza, a taco, and some sushi. And that's how I'm going to spend the rest of my day. Thanks for the inspiration.
If you're hearing this part of the episode, that means you're one cool individual. Thanks a bunch for tuning in, and if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to share it with at least one other person in your network. Bonus points for three, and be sure to check out the backlog too while you're at it, because there are hundreds of wonderful episodes to choose from as well.